Welcome back to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome back to our Watch Club for Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3. They are coming for all of you. Welcome back to Watch Club. My name is CTO831, but you can call me Hugs. And this is our Watch Club for Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, Episodes 4 to 7. If you're joining us for the first time, this is Watch Club, our weekly review series, kind of like a book club, but it's way better. Keep in mind, we'll be going into full spoilers for this series and Star Wars in general, so if you haven't watched these episodes yet, be sure to do so, and then come right back in less than 12 parsecs. Now, before we almost get eaten by a giant snow worm, let me introduce you to our experimental crew of ragtag troopers?
Single trooper?
Just like Omega, our squad is a little smaller, but we are so glad to have a true friend and war hero joining us. And her name is CTO118, but you can call her Brushstroke.
Or Omegan.
Omegan, that's it, yeah. How are you doing?
Good. I'm excited to talk about some more Bad Batch, always.
Yeah, we're back with the Batch. It feels like we've, for us at least, it feels like we've been away from them for a little while. I've been trying to rewatch these episodes as they've come out, but we kind of, you know, for those who don't know, we did get 8 episodes in advance, and don't worry, we're not going into anything spoiler related to anything past episode 7 for what you've seen. I've been sort of watching them as they've been coming out again. We watched them like so many times.
A while ago.
But it's fun to be back with the Bad Batch. And these series of episodes 4 to 7, we do get a good amount of time with Batcher. Batcher's especially helpful in episode 5. Megan, I want to know for you, if you could have a helpful space animal. And I'm going to give you the ability to either choose from Star Wars canon, or you could even make something up. I'll give you free rein here. What would you want to have?
Oh my God. That's like a wide berth.
Think of the zoo that Omega frees in episode
4. Oh my
4.
God. True. That's tough. Cause I feel like I also don't know the names of a lot of Star Wars creatures.
Yeah. You can describe them. We could figure it out.
I mean, if I could get my own little baby Grogu to follow me along, that would be great. I don't want to call him a creature.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, that works. A pet almost, though.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a little more sentience. That's more of a son. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Or, I can only think of weird looking things. I would want something cute for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Are there any like cat-like creatures?
Yeah. It was actually the choice that I was going to make, the Loth cat. I think maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A literal Loth kittens, you know, just like Sabine. There's a really great YouTube video. If you ever just want to like relax, there's a really lovely video that I think is still on YouTube, on Star Wars YouTube, of just her Loth cat, Sabine's Loth cat, sleeping to like lo-fi Star Wars music. It's fantastic.
Oh my God, I need that.
Yeah, yeah.
For when I'm drawing.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think a Loth kitten would be lovely to have. Just something easy, you know, as a little pet to take care of.
Definitely. Or if we're going difficult, a Loth wolf would be
whoa
dope.
Okay, that would be pretty sick. That would be pretty sick.
To like ride on it. And,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Or like, I don't know the name of it, but like that saber tooth creature from
the Anakin and Obi-Wan fight.
No, I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking the one in Tales from the Jedi that Ahsoka rides.
Oh,
you know that like creature that finds her in the forest.
Oh yeah,
and she's like riding it on the end.
That is pretty dope. That's pretty the Loth wolf version of a Loth cat.
There we go. That's it. We figured it out. All right. Well, listen. Before we are assassinated by one of our brainwashed brothers. I hope when CT-1006, our friend Joints, joins us again, I hope he's not brainwashed. and tries to assassinate us. But hopefully we'll see him next week. But before we're assassinated by one of our brainwashed brothers, let's get to this batch of episodes. Episode 4, A Different Approach, directed by Saul Ruiz. Episode 4 picks up right where we left off with Omega, Crosshair, and Batcher crash landing on an unknown planet. Luckily, they crashed near a spaceport town called Lao. Hemlock confronts Nalase and continues to suspect that she's involved in Omega's escape, questioning her attachment to the young clone. After donning some disguises, Omega and Crosshair attempt to bribe the spaceport ticketing agent, but they need to raise 30,000 credits to pay them off. Omega dominates some fools in Sabacc until she ends up facing off against an Imperial officer. His name is Captain Man, by the way.
Oh my God.
Of course it is. Captain Man loses against her, but then demands she pay the fine for illegal gambling. Good news, they still end up with 35,000 credits. Bad news, the Imperial troops locked up Batcha, and then they had to pay a snitch 5,000 credits to find out where. Of course, this was a trap, and Captain Man attempts to capture them, but Omega manages to release all the animals, and of course, her lovely Batcher, and then Crosshair and all of them, they manage to escape once again. At the end of the episode, we also get to see the heartfelt reunion with a big hug from Wrecker and a long, intense stare from Hunter towards Crosshair. So let's get into this here. I want to start off by saying I love the kind of at the beginning of the episode, the moment Omega tells Crosshair that they can't just walk around because they don't want to draw too much attention. And I'm like, Omega, you brought a giant lizard dog with you. What are you talking about?
How are you going to hide in this town?
It's so good.
I do love Crosshair has this like sunglasses and almost like a baseball cap hood on.
Yeah.
So he kind of gives off the vibe of like a celebrity hiding in
plain
sight.
I was getting Chris Evans when he's hiding in Captain America. It looks very
it's like
much.
Really a baseball cap is going to hide the fact that you're a clone, obviously.
But so the gray vest he has on, too, looks very Luke Skywalker, very like Hoth Luke Skywalker, like similar sort of material. I think this episode for me was a bit slower in the middle. I think they stayed on Omega playing Sabacc a little bit too long. But I think it was fun to see just how optimistic Omega is that they can just save everyone. Like they literally just escaped from Tantus and she already wants to go back to save the rest of the clones. And it's like, they can't just save Batcher. They have to release the entire zoo at the same. What about all the other animals? And it's just like, she's too pure for her own good, unfortunately.
It's true. It's funny. The first half, or I guess 75% of this episode that she's playing Sabacc reminded me of an episode in season 2 where Fee's kind of doing the same swindling techniques. So it's bringing back that reminder that like Omega truly takes in everything that people teach her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, yeah, absolutely. She's picking up from not just the Bad Batch, but everyone she's interacted with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's fun to have those kind of nods. If this episode's a little bit slow, at least there's something there for us to chew on.
Absolutely. Speaking of chewing on, Captain Man getting eaten by what I imagine is a Rathtar, I think is what maybe grabbed him.
It's got like octopus arms or
something.
Yeah,
you know, in episode 7, right? They've got the Rathtars. Fun fact for you, if you go on Smuggler's Run, there's a secret panel at the when you're leaving Smuggler's Run of a Rathtar and Carbonite. So look out for that. Super cool. But no, I think he got what was coming to him. I remember watching this episode and I remember just like the moment he appeared on screen and we were watching it together and you were just like, ew, I don't like him at all. Like you were just so
instantly. He's sketchy.
Yeah. He's, you know what, a bit of a thicker Imperial officer. Not one that we normally see that sort of body build. But no, he was definitely a kind of a gross guy. And it's interesting to sort of see that, you know, how quickly, you know, as the Empire is sort of going through this transition, how quickly these Imperial officers can sort of rise to power and take over in different areas of the system, I guess, right?
Totally.
And so, like, seeing him, like, you got to imagine he owns this entire town, this entire spaceport.
I mean, yeah, but I also feel like every single Imperial officer or commander or captain or whatever, the power goes straight to their head so quickly that he thinks he runs the show. But I mean, like, dude, you're in charge of a tiny little, like, backwoods town that nobody lives in.
Sure.
The fact that you can call out Omega and Crosshair for being people you've never seen before,
right?
Come on.
Yeah.
Relax.
Yeah. I want to bring up that reunion, finally getting to see them back together again. Omega's smile while she's running off the ship, I think alone, got me a little teary-eyed.
It's
but
precious.
Then seeing Wrecker cry, I was like, bro, that hits.
Yeah, and then also the eye contact and long silence at the very end of the episode with Crosshair and Hunter, like, not exchanging words, nothing, and it kind of ends there.
Yeah.
And you also see in the background Wrecker and Omega, like, taking in that this is going to be something that they have to work through.
Yeah.
And I love that for this final season of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a really intriguing sort of dynamic that they continue to explore over the next few episodes. And the way the music instantly shifts to that Crosshair theme, like, it's so lovely when they're reuniting. And there's that beautiful line of I think Wrecker says, "We crossed the galaxy four times looking for you." And then Hunter says, "Five, but you're the one who found us." I was just like, oh, that's so beautiful. But then, yeah, we get that shift in that music, and then you get the Crosshair theme, and they're just staring at each other. And, oh,
yeah.
So
there's
damn
so
good.
Much behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this episode, for me, you know, we talk a lot about sort of the little bit of filler here and there sort of episode, but that finale, that ending alone was enough to sort of go and get me like, okay,
makes it worth the watch, right?
Yes. Cool. Let's move on to episode 5, The Return, directed by Nate Villanueva.
Hey.
Episode 5 picks up back on Pabu, and after some training with AZ, Crosshair and the rest of the Bad Batch reunite with Echo. Crosshair and Omega share as much intel with Echo as they can in the episode. They need to plug in Emery's data pad into an Imperial terminal. So Crosshair has them travel to the Barton 4 outpost that we saw him betray the Empire in last season, in probably what was my favorite episode of last
stunning.
Season. It was so good. While Crosshair continues to butt heads with Hunter, the crew manage to dig their way, with the help of Batcher, into the abandoned facility. Here, Crosshair is haunted by the abandoned clone helmets, and Omega reroutes the power to the building, giving them access to the data pad. Unfortunately, though, this turns off some beacons that are keeping a giant snow worm away from them. While Crosshair is confronted by Hunter, they are attacked, and they have to put aside their differences to survive. They work it out, and with the intel they recovered, they make their way off planet. So I want to kick it off with, this is also at the beginning of this episode, I love how Omega is the only one brave enough to go check on Crosshair. Like, you got these two military soldiers, and yet they're still not ready to face Crosshair. And yet Omega, without any hesitation, just like, I'll check on him. And the look that Hunter and Wrecker give each other after is so great.
I know. I mean, it goes to show you the trust that they lost for somebody who was their closest brother. And Omega's just so trusting.
Yep.
And she's also probably spent a bunch of time with him over the last few days or weeks or whatever, that she has that trust, and she knows that he's not doing anything wrong, and that he just wants to be part of their group again and part of their family. So she'll do anything to make sure he's comfortable with that. And I think she's also seen him over the months in Tantus that she's been there. So she's watched the issues with his hand and, you know, his skills deteriorating and things like that. And Hunter and Wrecker don't see that, and they don't know that yet. So I think it makes sense.
Yeah, well, he is so capable, especially at the beginning of this series. So you're right, like, Hunter and Wrecker probably are like, how could they see him as anything less than what he was before? But
yeah.
I think it's I think there's definitely some of that reveal and some of those changes for him in this episode. I love that Omega's not taking anyone's shit. She's just like,
no.
She's like, I told you to talk with him, not argue with him. She gets so mad.
So I also good. Just right at the very beginning of this episode, I love that they show Omega waking up cuddling
hugging
Lula.
She's home.
Like, that was the best thing to see after four episodes of her being away from her home.
Mm-hmm.
To see her feel at home again is so cool.
And the best part is like when we say her home, it's not just like her home is wherever the Bad Batch are.
Exactly.
Right? She's on a ship, right? Like I don't even think she would consider Pabu necessarily home.
No.
It's just where are her brothers? That's home. So lovely. I think it was a really beautiful moment, a very quiet moment in this episode, watching Crosshair pick up the old clone helmets off the ground. I thought it was really strong. I think this is the moment that Hunter really gets to see how Crosshair has changed over his time, and I think it's even made more impactful given that this was the place that actually changed him. Right.
Yes.
And so like he's reuniting with that. Yeah. With that spot and that space. And the reason that he is who he is now is because of these who once filled these helmets that he's then respecting and putting up. It's beautiful.
Yeah. That's deep, man. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that you want people who don't totally love the animated Star Wars. Watch these moments.
Please.
This is why.
Yes. Get
it's
this.
It's amazing.
Context. So good. So good. I think this this episode is also absolutely beautiful. I think the way the snow moves and floats around in the air, like the light snow and the ice shifting. I think the physics is just the way the episode shot. There's a moment towards the end where Crosshair looks out towards a mountain and we see that ice vulture flying over it, and it's such a stunning shot. And it's just like, I remember when we first saw this space, you know, it was very gray and very dark,
mm-hmm.
and kind of almost like either it was gray or white. And here we get this beautiful mountain shot, and it's just like it almost again sort of visually shows the resolution between Crosshair and Wrecker in that moment. Is so good.
Yeah, more like blue sky than cloudy, and it's good to see. It's actually really cool to see Crosshair back at the place where he realized what the Empire had become and what he had trusted that he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see him respecting that and moving forward, you know, working and knowing he needs to work to gain his brother's trust back. I think that's a really cool thing that we see happen in this episode.
Great timing from Lucasfilm Animation to release an episode featuring a giant worm.
oh my god, I didn't even think about it.
Right? Like, and it's like snow and deserts, not that different.
No, it kind of looks the same.
Kind of looks the same too. So, kudos to them for hitting that Dune timing. I think there's another really quiet moment that I love, and there's no exchange of dialogue. It's just Hunter and Crosshair just look at each other and then nod. And it's like in that moment, it's just like they're just saying everything they need to say, but without saying it. And again, it sort of adds to them their brotherhood in a way. Like they're
And they're also both characters of few words.
Yes.
And also were the closest before Order 66.
Yeah.
Like Crosshair and Hunter were best friends.
Yeah.
And then because of what happened, you see those like rekindling moments in a moment like that.
Yeah.
So I just can't wait for more progression. And it's okay if it's slow. It's okay if it takes them time to get back together, because that's what it would be. It would take time.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that they're a few words. I think even at the end, like I was just rewatching episode 5 before we started recording, and like watching like Hunter try to put together the words at the end, like you can almost tell that like D. Bradley Baker is like playing him in a way where he's struggling a little bit to say this sentence of like, it's okay, like I've made mistakes too. And really, really good. That vulture, by the way, at the end, I think it is meant to like, because he's looking out, and I think it reminds Crosshair of how he was left to die by the Empire. Because I think that's the idea with the Vulture. Like, the Vulture,
yeah,
realistically is to represent, it's normally a representation of death out in the wild. And I think its significance to him in this episode is what gets him to open up to Hunter at the end. And I think that's just, that whole sequence was just so stunning, so good.
Yeah. I mean, this show is known, at least to me, for its incredible visuals and landscape animation and design. I always love the texture and the painting of these landscapes. From season one, literally, Hunter and Crosshair chasing Caleb at the time,
yes,
through that forest.
Yeah.
That imagery is so gorgeous, and that follows through with every single new landscape we see in this show.
Yeah, so good. So good. Shall we continue?
Let's go.
Okay, episode six. Of course, episode six and seven, as of you listening to this, would be the most recent episodes to come out as a sort of a two-part release. So we are releasing this on the same day that those episodes came out. Episode six, Infiltration, directed by Stuart Lee. Episode six, the first in a two-part release, starts off with Senator Singh being escorted by Rex and his crew to attend a secret meeting with Megan's favorite, Senator Chuchi.
Yeah!
they discuss the Imperial occupations around the galaxy and that they must find a unifying leadership to fight back. We can already see the rebel sort of side brewing here. it just reminds me of that gif of Michael Scott just coming out and be like, it's happening, and everyone's freaking out. unfortunately, their meeting is cut short by a clone assassin that infiltrates the meeting space and attempts to take the senators out. Rex and his crew catch the assailant and take him into their custody. Back on Tantus, another assassin is activated to track down the failure, as they call him, and neutralize him. After discovering that the assassin was also after Omega, they get the Bad Batch involved, also hoping to learn more from Crosshair. Omega gets a sweet new upgrade from Echo. Omega explains that Nala Se was working on something involving M Count. I don't know. During questioning the captured assassin clone, it causes a little bit more dissent between Howler and Crosshair before saying, he says, they are coming for all of you. After some explosions, the newly dispatched assassin manages to take out the captured one. And at the end of the episode, we see Commander Wolf en route with a squad of troopers to capture their target alive. So let's start off with Chuchi. Great to see Senator Chuchi again. I think it's interesting.
My fave.
It's interesting how Senator Chuchi, must really be important to the Empire. Clearly her fighting for clone rights must have stirred up something in them as she's on this list along with Omega for these assassin clones. The last time we saw her and the assassin clones were actually in the two-part arc episode from last season. So it's just interesting that they're sort of keeping that going. But yeah, what did you think of seeing Chuchi back again?
Oh my God. I mean, like you said, and she's one of my favorite senators of all of the senators, yes, aside from Padme. But
sure, yeah.
She
and Jar Jar. You're.
I mean, well,
yeah.
But she's so like thoughtful in the way she approaches the subject matter of clones, and I think it's really cool that they've explored that through this show.
Mm-hmm.
And how she's connected to this specific show from the animated series, the Clone Wars animated series. I also think that she must have a connection to Mon Mothma.
Oh.
Because she seems to be the main source other than Leia for the rebellion.
Yeah, for sure.
And most of those people are involved in what was the Republic or the Separatist Alliance, right? So I wonder if these politicians are all like underground talking to each other, and Chuchi stands on what do we do with the clones?
Yes.
Where are they at? And how do we protect them from being, you know, disposed of or whatever.
Well, because Singh even says, like, you know, we were technically enemies or whatever, right? Like, we were on opposite sides.
Yeah.
So to sort of see that it's kind of like, well, we all have to get together and figure this out, does sound very Mon Mothma at this time. Mm-hmm. I think it would make a lot of sense. It would be great to see a connection there for sure. I think Senator Singh was part of maybe one of the weakest episodes of the first season.
Yes,
I think he was.
Of season.
Yeah, I'm pretty
one.
Sure.
Yeah,
that was like maybe what got us to the point where we were like, okay, we gotta. I don't know how many of these episodes we can do.
Yeah,
but no, I think I loved how this episode almost felt like an alternate Bad Batch series at the beginning with Rex and Hauser and Greer and the crew and
yeah.
Honestly, if they wanted to do a continuing series with them, and then we see Bad Batch members every now and then, like they're the guest stars, I wouldn't be against it. I would not be.
We just get a series called
just the
clones.
Absolutely, sure, or just clones or
I'd watch
whatever.
It.
Yeah, that would be super cool. But I think they'll move out of this part of Star Wars in animated next.
Yeah, probably.
I do think that you know, seeing them also leading what would eventually become the rebellion, like sort of that beginning moments and like really getting to see that. Because
yeah.
I think we're going to get to see a little bit of that here. But I'd love to sort of see it, you know, even further down the road would be really cool. But I guess we'll also see that in Andor as well.
Oh, yeah. And this is like still pretty fresh after Order 66,
true.
Right? Like, they're all only a few years have gone
yeah.
by.
Yeah, the timing is always... Yeah, it's always like, I always have to remind myself, when are we, where are we? Omega's yeah. reaction to her new energy crossbow, she's just the cutest.
Oh my God, she's so
she's
cute.
Like,
I can't stand
when she's leaving,
it.
You just see her like staring at it as she's walking off the ship. And it's like, it's the same way that I stare at a newly built lightsaber when I leave Savvy's workshop in Galaxy's Edge. I'm just
right?
like, I can't stop looking at it. She's just the cutest.
Well, and it's so exciting, too, because it's not something she's going to have to pull back, right? It's a new upgrade to this weapon. And also, it's green. It's not pink anymore.
Whoa.
So that's a cool, like, difference to show that she's maturing her age and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. She's growing up. One thing that got my brain wrinkling quite a bit in this episode.
Ooh.
Really wrinkly. Like, I'm talking like Palpatine wrinkly, okay?
Wow.
is the moment that Omega shares with them the bit about Emery testing for something to do with M count. And Rex says that he's heard that before, but he's never really looked into it. Something to me makes me think that he would know what M count was, especially after experiencing the Clone Wars, like alongside the Jedi. Like, did that never come up, or did like Order 66 mess his brain up so much that he doesn't remember? Like, is there something to do with Order 66 that maybe says, like, you know, there's secrets that you have in your brain and like maybe it erases them, like it targets them? I don't know.
I mean, maybe, because he did switch immediately.
Yeah,
like Ahsoka had to force him onto a medical table to remove the thing in his head.
Yeah.
So it would make sense if like that chip almost fries the information that they get from the Jedi, because it was like, you know, you're turning on the Jedi now. So
right.
everything that they've said to you is a lie.
Yeah. And they're traitors and yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And maybe when that chip is removed,
yeah,
all of those, not necessarily memories, because obviously he still remembers everything, but like the information side of it is gone.
Yeah.
Or like really foggy, so he's like, I feel like I've heard about that before.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I just got chills.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think that's got to be it, because like otherwise, like, dude, come on. Remember what M
You were
is.
Besties with Anakin.
Yeah.
There's no way you don't
yeah.
know what the M stands for.
There has to be. Yeah, there has to be. That has to be the explanation.
Yeah.
And then that the end, that epic moment where the trooper blasts the assassin with a flamethrower, I thought was fantastic. I think that it visually looked incredible. And then he gets shot and then causes that explosion. I completely thought that was Hauser, which worried me so much, because the haircut on this clone, and it was like a random clone, but I
yeah,
was like
yeah.
watching and I was like, huh,
No.
They just killed, like, one of the biggest, most favorite clones from last season. Like, no way. And thankfully, he's in the next episode. So I was like, there's no way they could do that to a fan favorite.
We had to keep our connection with Ryloth somehow.
Yes, absolutely. And I hope we do get to see you. You've been sort of really hoping that we would maybe get young Hera showing up again at some point.
We gotta get Omega's besties back.
Yeah. Well, then, because you also said offline, we were talking about, like, you're like, if we got to see Hera and Kanan, you know.
Yeah, because, yeah. Oh my God, my brain. The first episode of this whole show mm-hmm. has Kanan in it. And then the second season, they show Hera. So how cool would it be if the Bad Batch / Omega are the reason that they met?
Bro.
Oh, bro. I would love that.
So sick. We so good. Is there anything else about episode 5 you want to call out before we move on?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I just wrote down in my notes a lot, the B word about these shadow guys.
The shadow assassin.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about him. Episode 7, Extraction, directed by Saul Ruiz. Episode 7, part 2 of this 2-part arc, has our surviving clones working their way underground to escape the assassin, as well as Commander Wolf and his troops. As they make their way to a docked leech ship, they manage to launch but are shot down by the assassin before they can escape. They crash back on the planet and are confronted by Wolf and as they attempt to get to the rendezvous point to reach Echo, Nemec is killed by the assassin, which just Nemec just brings up flashbacks of Andor, different spelling for that. Yeah. Nemec, but like still like, oh, why you gotta kill Nemec? Nemec is killed by the assassin pushing Crosshair to confront him directly. As Crosshair is being drowned by the assassin, he's rescued by Hauser, who shoots the assassin, causing him to fall down a waterfall. They regroup and are once again confronted by Wolf, who recognizes Rex, who manages to talk him down and convinces him to let them go, asking him to do the right thing. Rex, his crew, and the Bad Batch all board a ship and just simply take off. We see that somehow the assassin is still alive. Somehow Palpatine has returned.
He just fell. It's fine.
I guess. If you fall, you're good.
You're good.
And we end the episode with a heart-to-heart between Rex and Hunter, where Rex tells him that if he wants to keep Omega safe, then he needs to find out why she's so important to the Empire. I think a line that stands out right near the end for me in this episode is, but sir, they're traitors. And then Wolf just says, perhaps, but they're clones. We owe them that. And
oof.
Bro, so good to
see
Wolf, you know, here. I think that moment between him and Rex was beautiful. I think it really mm-hmm. makes you wonder if the chip in Wolf's head is going through some degradation, because we know they can do that. For him just to let him go, I hope it doesn't mean he's punished or killed by Hemlock.
God, I hope not.
That would be rough, but I hope he kind of comes back to the light by the end.
Yeah, I love what this show has done with the clones that we've met through Clone Wars mm-hmm. and how they've brought them back all in totally different ways, and to see what Order 66 did to each individual clone that had a name that we knew of.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf being one of those ones that was like a really epic clone in the Clone Wars series, and to have him return but still be attached to the Empire is like so sad, but you watch him alter just slightly
yes.
in this episode, and how he's like, okay, no, but these are my brothers and I fought with them once before, so for that I'll save him and keep my word as brothers.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Before I lose my Star Wars fan card, they take it away from me if you make a mistake. Wolf is absolutely not able to die, because we do see him far into the future as part of the crew.
Yes.
in Rebels. So no, he won't die, but I do think that there's gonna be some sort of, you know, something's going to happen. Some repercussion is going to happen because of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's it's brutal that just in episode, you know, just in episode six, Hunter comments to Rex on how much they've managed to grow the cell with like more troopers. And then just like one assassin clone has single-handedly taken out almost all of them. Like,
seriously. Yeah.
Oh, it's so sad.
it's interesting to see. Like, I'm so curious about this shadow assassin situation. And I know we're going to talk about that more, but like, I'm just intrigued to understand the process of it, because I think this is what they were trying to do with Crosshair.
Yes.
We've talked about this. I think this was the process. They were trying to make him the shadow assassin, their main
when
guy.
When that one recognizes him and then Hauser freaks out and he's like, well, it didn't work on me.
Yeah, because obviously he would make the best shadow assassin. That's literally what he's the best at.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder who the shadow assassins could be.
We'll get to that in a second. But I want to say that I think this episode, out of all of them, I think has been the best in terms of action so far. I think the lighting with the explosions is always fantastic, like in the last episode. But then I love the moment where Crosshair recognizes that his like aim is off when he's trying to shoot the assassin. So he just is like, screw it. And he attaches an explosion, like a bomb or whatever, explosive to his rifle and shoots it off and goes wide. And then it's nice to see Hauser kind of having a heart to heart with Crosshair, even if it's just for like a little moment. And the fact that it was Hauser at the end that ends up saving Crosshair. It's just these little details and moments that like between even like guest characters that show how they can still manage to incorporate so much character growth into these, you know, what could be seen as side mission episodes. Like, again, this being a part two of two, it's like it can be a little bit thinner if they really want it to and be a little more action heavy, but they still manage to like add in those little elements. It's just so, so fantastic.
And that's one thing I think Star Wars is really good at, is connecting you to the characters, even using very little time.
Yeah.
Like, their writing is so amazing. And again, the animation is so beautiful that they are able to, like in episode five, that connection between Crosshair and Hunter with nothing said. Like, those are moments that make Star Wars so beautiful, and you don't need much to feel what they're trying to portray.
And it shows the maturity in the writing for this series as well, which is so cool. And again, I know that we're three seasons in, but, you know, again, there's still a lot of young folks that do watch these episodes. So again, like, I think to me, and like even just, you know, reminiscing on moments with Avatar The Last Airbender, for instance, after watching the live-action series, I've gone back and started watching the animated series again a little bit here and there just to pick up some episodes. And, yeah, just the writing and the way that you know, some of these animated series can just be so mature in tone and what they're talking about and who they're directing to is awesome. And how much Crosshair is badgering Omega to keep her safe in this episode was really lovely.
Yeah.
I think he's like... You know, she's like, you're as bad as Hunter. And he's like, oh, I'm way worse. And I just love how much he's taken to her, right? Even though he doesn't normally show it, it's like you can see it through how
he cares so much
in this episode. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But I also wanted to mention, we do get for those who love our sound Easter eggs, we do get a Wilhelm scream in the episode. Not sure if you caught it, but it's when Crosshair shoots down one of the ships and a trooper falls out. We get the classic,
I didn't get that.
Yeah, classic Wilhelm scream.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I think, you know, these episodes were definitely a little more action heavy. Again, I love Wolf coming back, but let's get into the meat and potatoes here with our prediction segment. And again, just to clarify, with any predictions, we're not going to predict anything that we would have sort of heard in episode eight or that could have led to it. So anything we predict or anything we say at this point, it doesn't mean that we heard it or saw it or got hints to it even in the next episode, in episode eight. So just keep that in mind. But we are going to, I'm going to ask you, what's going to happen, Batch? Who is that assassin trooper? Because they seem to have focused on him quite a bit over these two episodes. And not only that, but he's still alive. Like I get it. People fall in Star Wars and they stay alive, but he got shot and then fell. Like, how is he kicking still? He's got to be important. What do you think?
I mean, we've had a few discussions about this and who it could be, and it's obviously a clone because they all are clones.
Yeah.
All the clones that they're trying to reconfigure in their brain.
Yeah.
There's so many options.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Did Cody die? Because I know Cody was in season two.
No, I don't.
And there's a moment.
I think he did.
Okay, so there's a moment when they're in front of that big memorial almost with Crosshair, and Cody's there.
Yes.
And Cody was a huge part of the Clone Wars series, and he was so connected to Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
That I wonder if he would be a really great candidate for something like that.
Ooh.
So he could be an option.
Right, because you have to imagine that it's like, you know,
it's got to be commanders and like
higher ranking, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So he was a thought in my head.
That's interesting. Well, especially with seeing him in season two, like, again, there was so much to go towards Crosshair's character development in there. But yeah, that's really interesting.
And also any clone that we've had named and re-referenced in this show from the Clone Wars series has already been shown again.
Yeah.
Cody's the only one we haven't seen again.
Interesting. Yeah, because they had a mission on Desix together, but I don't I don't remember him dying. I think that would have been a really big deal. I think we would have talked about that if if he had gotten killed.
I think he's just in that one moment in passing.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
He's like Crosshair, and Crosshair goes, Cody?
Yeah.
Like, he's so shocked that he's seeing Cody. And even in that moment, Cody was contemplating, like, still, you know, unsure if they were making the right decisions by trusting this new empire.
Yeah.
And maybe he needed some reconfiguring.
Yeah.
Maybe the empire was like, you know what, his skills are great, but he's starting to turn, so let's change up his brain.
Yeah, I can't quite remember the story detail that I had thought about the last time we talked about Cody, because last time we talked about Cody, I brought up the fact that he was supposed to be in Obi-Wan, the television show, and that got cut. And apparently, I can't remember the exact reason. I'm not sure exactly what it was pertaining to, why they cut it, but it's like, could be this. It could
maybe.
Be. It could be. It could be that he turns dark, right? Yeah, I think Cody was on my list as well. I think. Maybe.
Don't say it.
Yeah, it's tech. It could be tech. There's so much that when we first see one of these assassin droids, there's like a moment. I think it's in episode three. I can't remember which one. I think that's it. I don't know. They just show him like standing there, and a bunch of like really, and this is like far reaching, but a lot of fans. They upped the contrast on him, and there's these like panels on the back wall that are like designed in a way that just look like Tech's antenna, like headset thing, like behind, if you were to like create like a silhouette of the assassin trooper. So I was like,
whoa,
that's a bit of a reach probably, but I think it could be.
If it's true though,
I think it could be Tech. I think that would be really, really intriguing. And again, I think it almost shows like this element of with everything that happened with Crosshair and everything that they're going through now. Just imagine the 1-2 punch of like, we finally got Crosshair back, and we finally not only just got him back, but like got him back. Like, he's finally our brother again. He finally is back to like, you know, episode one of you know, season one. And then to get that punch of, well, here's your other brother, but he's... I don't know. It just seems something that like is so dark.
I mean, it would be really poetic.
Yeah, I think it could work. I don't know.
Because he also sacrificed himself to save his brothers and Omega.
Yeah.
Only for him to be turned into a weapon to be used against them would be tragic.
Yeah, I think...
Oh, God, I hope it's not him, but also that would be dope.
That would be crazy. But you know what? They could also just pull an Ahsoka and just make this masked character, you know, someone that...
Like anyone.
Just nobody. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
It's just random. It's just a random clone. Whatever.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully we do get something pretty epic. I do think Cody and Tech are kind of at the top of the list there for sure. Is there anything else that you wanted to, predict anything big before we wrap up this week's Watch Club?
Not anything to predict, just like really excited to see where the rest of this season goes. It's been probably the best season of this show so far. Yeah. The most exciting and filled.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of filler episodes so far. Like, if there are, there's something in those episodes that are worth watching. Mm-hmm. So we have less like blah content.
Sure. Yeah.
It's for the majority, like, really meaningful and story pushing. And yeah, I just can't wait to see how it ends.
I don't want to think about it. I think it'll keep going forever and ever. But that is it for this week's Watch Club for Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you like to listen to podcasts, if you haven't already. And if you want to write into the show with your thoughts on these episodes or your predictions on any of the shows we cover in Watch Club, well, you don't have to almost get drowned by your brother next to a waterfall. Instead, Megan, can you let the big, beautiful Batches know where they can reach us by holomessage?
You can reach us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or you can find us on the app formerly known as Twitter at GeekcentricYT or on Instagram at wearegeekcentric.
Yeah, I think the Emperor would change Twitter to X. I think that's a move
probably.
He would make, right? Yeah, yeah.
That is who runs it now.
Yes, that is. Yeah, if you didn't know, it's actually...
Essentially.
It's just Palpatine. Somehow Elon has returned. Okay.
Yeah.
We have... also, we've got our channel open for The Bad Batch Season 3 in our Discord. So you can join using the link in our description. Come over, chat with us, talk. You know, let us know. Who do you think the assassin is? Is it Tech? Is it Cody? Is it Gonky? Maybe it's Gonky. Where's he been?
Oh, my God.
We didn't see... You know, we saw him in that one episode, but yeah, who knows?
Can't be AZ.
No, I don't think it's AZ. That would be actually pretty incredible if it was AZ. Keep in mind, we have a ton of other great episodes covering the latest in movies, TV shows, including our recent spoiler-free reviews for both this series, as well as we've got reviews for Invincible Season 2, Part 2, Kung Fu Panda 4, Extraordinary Season 2, Dune Part 2, and Netflix's Avatar The Last Airbender. We have some great interviews out now, like our most recent interview with Paul Sun-Hyung Lee and Daniel Day-Kim from Lost, my favorite show, but also from Avatar The Last Airbender. I was so stoked to chat with these legends about what the show means to them. And we also talk about thirst tweets. So if you're interested in thirst tweets, definitely go check out that one. You can check that out on YouTube, or you can check it out on your podcast service of choice. And we have interviews. If you're a fan of The Bad Batch, which I imagine if you're listening to this by this point, you are. We have some interviews out with some of the folks from this very series. We spoke with Michelle Ang herself, Omega. Megan joined me for that, did an excellent job helping me with questions. It was awesome.
Thank you.
And we also spoke with executive producer and supervising director Brad Rao and executive producer and head writer Jennifer Corbett. We talked to them about like saying goodbye after these three fantastic seasons. Justin learned that the seasons 2 and 3 were produced at the same time, which is really interesting. And the fact that they knew that they were, like, once 3 got greenlit, they really did know, like, where it was going to end, and it's great. So check out those interviews. And we asked Michelle what her clone nickname would be, and she gives some two really
good
answers. So definitely check out those interviews again here on your podcast service of choice or over on YouTube at youtube.com/geekcentric. Subscribe, leave a review. It helps so much. We're going to have even more Watch Club soon with episode 8 dropping pretty soon. After that comes out, we will have our Watch Club going weekly. And we are going to be at Toronto Comic Con. We haven't confirmed exactly which day, but if you are listening to this and you are at Toronto Comic Con, hit us up on our Discord. Let us know, and maybe we will see you there. Megan, thank you so much for joining me for this Watch Club. And as we say,
good soldiers follow orders.